everybody, and welcome to the DeathStoreProgs.com anime podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by Split Reason. Geek things for geek people. Go to splitreason.com or click the link at the bottom of the page and go buy some shirts and stuff because they're awesome. Or, if you want to buy shirts, go to DeathStoreProgs.com/store. We have shirts, we have hoodies, we have sleeves and stuff. And if you spend over $50, you get a free blanket. Or if you don't feel like buying anything and just feel like giving us money, then go to deathstoreprods.com/indiegogo. That is I-N-D-I-E-GOGO to donate to our fund to help raise money and make the site a better place. Our Rocket Hub just ended, and we made a total of $88 off of it.
Woo!
It should be getting that check next week.
Any idea what we're going to use it for?
I have no idea. I'm just going to split it up five ways. I'm just going to split it up and send it off to you guys.
Well, I'll put it towards something for the site.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing. Like, if we actually reach our goal, then I will be like, then it'll be like gathering up all the money in one place, and then like you get like you guys say, hey, I need this. Then how much? Just ask how much is this, and you get the money for that, and then just go from there. Just distribute the wealth.
Or you could send me the $88, and I will start an advertising campaign.
Just a fucking second, there's Flamateter.
Lie.
Okay, well, it's only a two for today, since Pudge's internet is fucked. But as always, I'm your host, Deadman, and joining me today, I have Bobby.
Hello.
Normally we get James or somebody, but he's working, so fuck him. Okay, so I guess we'll start out with Big Three Talk. So, you have not read this week's Bleach, right?
No, I have not. I'm reading last week's right now.
Okay, well, I guess we'll skip over that for spoiler-ness, I guess. But, so, that still leaves Naruto. And the last couple chapters have just been Sasuke. Yeah, it's just kind of... Like, the last chapter, I think 2 weeks ago, the chapter ended with Sasuke, like, actually showing up again. But then, this week's chapter, it was Sasuke fighting a bunch of the white dudes whose names escaped me.
Doesn't matter. They're a bunch of white dudes.
You're just fighting them using Susanoo and using his awesome ass eyes. And you're just realizing, oh shit, my eyes are awesome. And then he sees Itachi. Wait a minute, he's supposed to be dead. So that's going to be a fight, I guess.
What? Sorry, why is he going to fight him again?
Because he's back from the dead or something. Something really stupid is going to happen. Yeah, like... When it showed Itachi, like Sasuke was walking through the woods after he just killed a bunch of white dudes, and he sees Itachi flying over, and he's just like, oh fuck! Like he was like really scared. So I'm guessing that he's gonna like run after him, then see Naruto there, and then it's gonna erupt into a big fight. And then like Sasuke's gonna try to fight Naruto, then Itachi's gonna get in the way, and then Naruto's gonna go off and do his chosen like ninja Jesus thing.
Ninja Jesus.
He's pretty much Ninja Jesus.
I know. We've been hearing about it forever.
Yes, and pretty soon we're going to be getting it. It's just going to be like, he's already walked on water, which he's turned water into wine and then multiply some fish. And then,
well, he can multiply himself and transform into fish.
Yeah, but then people would have to eat Naruto, which would be weird.
Well, Naruto is an ingredient in ramen, so...
Of course. Yeah, but... he's a dude still, you know, and... Wouldn't they also technically be eating part of the demon fox?
Sure.
So then they'd all turn into mini demon foxes?
No.
Because eating demon chakra?
Despite what certain filler arcs would have us believe, having Kyuubi chakra put into you will not... Sorry, having small exposure to Kyuubi chakra will not turn you into another Jinjuriki. I swear to God, there's a filler arc where there's like another Kyuubi pseudo Jinjuriki because they just put like some of the I almost said Reiatsu,
yeah.
Chakra.
This ain't Bleach, bitch.
Into him.
Well, that kind of would make sense because like they only put the Yang chakra inside Naruto.
Yeah, but the other half got sealed away with the fourth.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. Well, you don't know, they could.
But no, this is like a tiny little...
They could do a QB chakraectomy.
No, this is like a tiny little tuft that was left from one of his ass hairs or something.
Oh, that is just retarded. Like, even those two dudes who were like fighting in the war before they got sucked into that jar, they were like living inside the QB for like months before they became mini foxes.
But no, this guy was like, the QB attacked our village, and then there was leftover Ratsu, and I said it again, chakra.
God
and
damn it,
man. Put it into you, and now you're just like a QB. And he goes like four tails at one point, which is ridiculously high.
That is fucking retarded. Okay, well, yeah, it's still Naruto, but moving on to, I guess, do you actually care about Bleach spoilers at this point, like right now?
Go ahead and I'll try and forget them or ignore them.
Yeah, so Quincy are actually behind it all, but they look like Arrancar. And people from the outer rims of the Soul Society are disappearing. So there's that, and no one knows what's happening. Like, when they first introduce, like, the new Quincy guy, he kind of shows up on Ichigo's bed, and he's like, haha, well, there you are. And Ichigo just kicks him in the stomach. Just kicks the fuck out the window, and he just goes after him, and calls him an Arrancar, and he's like, I'm not a fucking Arrancar, pulls out the weird cross thing they have around their wrists. So, yeah. So, yeah, we got Quincy's, and we got something else happening in the Soul Society. Oh, yeah, and there's also these weird dudes with the black faces that do something. I forget what they actually said, but I think they were there to kill the Captain General. Actually, let me look this up. You talk something.
What am I going to talk about? We're in the middle of Big Three talk, and, like, how about Naruto anime? It's just in the middle right now of the fight with Kisame.
Okay.
Guy just beat the fuck out of him.
Outstanding.
Which was cool. It was awesome when he went like gate 7. It's like, dude,
that's a little bit of overkill.
Yeah, well, not really for Kisame. And I kind of like how Samada didn't want, like, despite having Kisame as a part of it, didn't want to betray B.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so, yes, I'm now at the part. So, go to the last page. Previous. Oh, okay. Ah. Okay, so, these weird dudes in these with black face masks, they have come to declare war on the Captain General. So, there's that. So I'm actually, so this is getting into it. It's fitting, kind of, for a last arc in Bleach's last arc. We got War on the Soul Society. We got Quincy's coming back. We got all kinds of shit that's going to be jumping off soon, and it is going to be awesome. So I am thinking that this black face people are like kind of the Borg collective, I guess. They just like kidnap people from like Rukungai and all the districts and just assimilate them with their stupid hats and their black faces.
I'm sorry, I want to see Ichigo go final form again.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Just grow the big-ass horns and get his awesome mullet.
No, I didn't mean Vastalord. I meant his Aizen fight form. Not become Getsuga form, but the one just before that.
Okay.
You know, the I destroy mountains just with my awesome form.
Yeah. It's like mountains move out of the way whenever I walk by. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm actually looking forward. I actually want to see him go Vastalord again.
Yeah, Vastalord would be cool.
Because I like that mask. Oh, that was an awesome mask. Okay, well, that does it for the other two. So, One Piece, they've just been kind of, haven't really been doing much with it recently. Like, they had the dragon, they had the disembodied legs, and then it turns out that half of the island that they are on is made of ice. Which is bizarre, because the half that they're on is made of fire. So they have one half of the island is completely frozen, one half is constantly on fire. So, yeah, that's cool. And also, Smoker's coming, so that's going to be cool. It actually is going to be cool because, like, Smoker was kind of a big part of the early One Piece stuff. Like, he was one of the few people in the Marines who actually managed to get close to Luffy and the crew. And we haven't seen him in, like, I'm guessing it'll be like 3 years in the storyline, so it'll be interesting to see how far he's come along in terms of power. But that's going to be fun. Okay, so I guess it does it for Big Three Talk. Now, on to what we've been reading and stuff. So, Bobby, what have you been looking at recently?
All right, well, more watching than reading. I actually have started into a new series just recently. Bakano.
Bakano. I've been wanting to get into that. How is it?
It's good, but one thing I must say, this is going to be a bit spoilerific. At the beginning when they're introducing all the different characters who have the intersecting storylines, there's... You don't know that they're all immortals, which are people who can't die. They have, like, a healing factor better than Wolverine's. So, like, it's just introducing them, not telling you that they're immortals. So one of them's a kid, and you just see him get his fucking head blown off, and it leaves it at that. And I'm like, holy shit. The guy doesn't go easy either. He fucking double taps. It's like, bam, bam.
Awesome.
What the hell? Then finally, into the episode, I'm starting to realize that it's introducing all these people as immortals. I'm like, oh, okay, so that kid's probably going to regenerate. And yeah, he does. His head just comes back together.
So is this like Japanese Highlander? Like, it's like just a group of immortals fighting each other. There can be only one?
No. The immortals all seem to just know each other. They try and keep their existence hidden. Well, except the one guy. He doesn't try at all to keep his existence hidden. And, yeah, they've all got sort of separate storylines, but they intersect at times. It can be a bit confusing when you're first watching it. I would recommend to anyone starting off, I'm probably going to as well, rewatch the first episode before moving on.
Okay.
Other than that, it's really good. It's definitely interesting with the whole immortal thing.
And it seems like a show that's right up my alley.
Oh, yeah. It's got children getting their heads blown off, so...
Outstanding. Guess what else you got?
All right, well, nothing new.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to move on to stuff I normally watch anyways. So we've got Bleach. Naruto, I talked about it. It's Naruto. I rewatched the end of Durarara about the last 8 episodes.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay, so that's when the whole war with the yellow scarves and the blue dudes are coming to a head.
Yeah, it starts off with the whole episode where we find that Henri is the slasher, and yeah, it goes to the end.
Okay.
So yeah, it's when shit's really jumping off.
Yeah, it's when everything's going sideways, and they're like, oh my god, who has the head? And then, oh shit, this shit, Yugamine runs dollars and...
Well, we already knew that.
Uh-huh. But then everyone starts figuring it out. Everyone.
Yeah. And I love seeing Izai as the puppet master.
He's awesome.
He is quite good at what he does. My favorite moment being when he's playing his little chess game as the god attack. Da-da, fire! Yes, when he plays chess shogi checkers, he uses fire.
Well, yeah, it's... Nothing beats fire. Okay, what else?
Moving on. Ano Natsu de Matsuru. This is still a good series. I realize now... Like, I looked at the English title, I looked at the Japanese title, I'm like, wait. I actually understand that. I'm like, I know all of the base words to make that come together as a sentence.
And who says anime doesn't teach people anything?
Well, I'm hoping to learn Japanese within, like, the next year.
Mm-hmm. I know what pirates is in Japanese.
Good for you. I know little stuff. Like, I think I subconsciously know more than I consciously know, which would be good when I start to try and consciously learn it.
Not really. Like, it'd be kind of funny, like you subconsciously know everything, and they'd be like, you try to learn it, and you're like, oh, fuck, I don't understand what any of this means, and they go to Japan, and someone says something to you, and you just like automatically respond. It's like, oh, fuck, what did I say? Like someone just walks up to you, says something really polite, but then you just, like, react with a battle phrase. And then all of a sudden everything goes sideways, and you're just, like, running down the street with someone on a motorcycle with a scythe tries to cut your head off.
Adding detaibayo to everything.
Yeah, because like that. Because that's what I picture. That's what I picture an average day in Japan is for a high school student. Because you know that would be insane. I would love to go to high school in Japan if that was real life. I would gladly drop back down to high school if that was what high school was like in Japan.
Actually, funny off-topic story. We were looking into things in Tokyo, and Ninja Kitty's like, wait. It says here that male otaku really like this cafe that's run entirely by women who cross-dress as men. And she's like, why isn't that popular? I'm like, one word. Japan.
Ah, yes, Japan. Nothing beats it. That's why they removed it from Rock, Paper, Scissors. It used to be Rock, Paper, Scissors, Japan.
So, right. I know Natsu de Meteru is getting really good. It's getting kind of drama-y, but also really good. Mm-hmm. But basically, there's an equivalent of Izaya in this show.
Kidding me.
Her name is Remon. She's the oldest of the group, but she looks like she's like 12. And she knows everything. She knows that... I've made up nicknames for all the other characters, by the way, because I don't remember who they actually are. So I'll be introducing nicknames. She knows that Alien is an alien. She knows that Glasses likes Alien. She knows that Alien likes Glasses. She knows that Blue-Haired Girl likes Glasses. She knows that Blue-Haired Boy likes Blue-Haired Girl. And that Fan Service likes Blue-Haired Boy. And not only that, but she likes to stir up shit as much as she can, and then film it.
Okay, what did you say her name was?
Remon.
Remon?
Remon, sorry.
Remon?
It's pronounced kind of like lemon. Yeah.
Is there some guy who just comes around and is like, Remon, and throws a betting machine at her?
No.
Then I lose all interest in the show. It's like, it would be way off. Like, what is the show actually about again? I keep forgetting.
Well, there's Alien, who landed her ship on top of Glasses, killing him, but then bringing him back to life with alien technology. And now she's stranded on Earth, and she's become friends with Glasses and all his friends, and they're making a movie. Now, the thing that reveals that Remon knows that she's an alien is that she's like, oh, I've written a movie. Yeah. Alien, you're an alien. And Glasses, you're her romantic interest. Oh, and this little thing, this is your organic, the organic control for your ship, which Alien has introduced to everyone as just her pet, although it's not any animal that exists, but I guess, you know, Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you give them some bullshit explanation, they'll buy it. It's like, oh, this is my dog. Yes. Okay.
It's actually an organic control for a ship. And then Remon will constantly get people drunk and see what happens.
Oh god, I have to watch this show.
It's really entertaining. An interesting thing. The reason I call fan service is because several times when she's in her bedroom, she's always naked.
Okay.
if there's any hope of actually seeing anything, it'll be with the DVD release, so don't get your hopes too high.
I don't. Unless it's from Korea, I don't expect to see tits.
So, she's always naked in her bedroom, and I'm like, what, is her family nudist? Does she just not like clothes? So I started calling her fan service, and then in the most recent episode, in the one before, there was an embarrassing incident when she falls on top of blue-haired boy, who she likes, and her skirt flies up, revealing that she's not wearing underwear, and she gets really embarrassed, and then after she's confronted by a crazy stalker, who is crazy stalking blue-haired boy, she reveals that, yes, her family are nudists. And that is why she's always naked at home.
That's, you know, giving a plausible character explanation as to why she is constantly tits.
Yes. I've taken to calling her fan service. I've decided I'm not going to remember any of the actual names of the characters. So it's Alien, Glasses, Blue-Haired Girl, Blue-Haired Boy, and Fan Service. And Ramon is the only one whose name is worth remembering. But if I had to give her a nickname, it would be Shit Disturber.
Why don't you just call her Izaya?
That would work too.
Or Shizaya. Boom. Okay, what else you got?
Okay. Brain is farting. Muretsu Pirates.
Okay, but it's just Space Pirates.
Yes, now, a really funny plot twist has kind of come up. So, the main character, she has finally become the captain of the Bentemuru. She's taken up the job, going to high school on the side, of being captain of this ship. And so she goes on her first pirating mission. And we've seen two so far in the anime. And basically, they act all serious, like this is going to be a big thing. We find out that the legal pirates, what they do now is basically the equivalent of dinner theater. They go to expensive cruise liners, and they get paid to go and rob everyone on board, and then the cruise liner will cover that, and make a big show of it, right? And so basically this... Because it's a rare opportunity to be boarded by pirates, people are more likely to go on this cruise liner now. So they're basically paid to go and steal money that gets replaced anyways. And it's just, it's a show. They are basically a traveling pirate theater.
Oh god, that is kind of pathetic.
But it's hilarious, because you think it's going to be all serious, and oh, they're boarding now. And then it's like, she's got a spotlight on her, she's talking about hand over all your valuables, people are cheering.
So what, these people are like, clapping, like, wow, yeah, while they're taking off their, while they're taking off all their jewels and emptying their wallets into a bag?
Yep, because they get paid back for it anyways.
Oh god. That is kind of awesome.
It is.
Okay, what else have you been watching?
Brain is working right now. I know there's something else. Is there something else?
Don't ask me.
What series did I talk about last week?
I don't remember last week.
Neither do I. I don't remember 5 minutes ago. Let me just take a look here.
Wait, what are we doing?
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah, who am I? I don't know. What is this strange rectangular device in front of me?
Oh my god. Fairy Tale.
Okay.
Laxus has shown up for the fight against Grimoire Heart. He lost his fight. But what happened at the end of the last episode was Laxus gave his lightning to Natsu.
Yep.
Us seeing that basically... Hades be fucked.
Yes, now Natsu has fire lightning. So, you know, that's awesome.
It's actually kind of funny because Ninja Kitty was repeatedly mentioning that the opening is really spoilery. Only there's this part where it shows Natsu with fire and lightning around him, but we didn't catch on until the opening of that episode before he gets the lightning. We're like, wait, is he going to get Lexus's lightning? And then it happens. It's like, ah, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of always been the way. Like, I remember seeing a bunch of, like a bunch of anime like openers where it just like, all right, so here's what happens, and then it just shows like a bunch of stuff. Like, I think one of the Naruto openings actually revealed that Sasuke was going to defect before Sasuke defected.
I think so too. Fairy Tail's been pretty good so far, except with this one. Other than the fact that they will usually start their opening before. The new opening before the next arc starts, they're pretty good at not showing too many spoilers. You might sometimes see who's going to fight who, but...
Yeah, those things are kind of like... Those you can kind of guess, though. Usually can't you guess, like... It's usually been, like, you know, a Natsu's going to fight the strong guy, but then this guy's going to fight this guy. And it's usually been kind of obvious. I don't remember a lot of what I've read in Fairy Tail, but I remember being able to, like, kind of figure out who's going to be fighting who.
Well, yeah, when we saw Blue Note, we're like, Blue Note's going to fight Gildarts. The thing I didn't expect was that Gray would be the one to defeat Ultier. I thought for sure Natsu's got a grudge there, it's going to be him, but no. Gray.
Okay. Yeah, so anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, so I've also been reading some of the Fairy Tail manga. And what's been happening recently has been kind of awesome. They've just started... They've, like, been gone for 7 years. Like, Fairy Tail's dropped down to, like, very low status in the mage world. But now they are back... now they are back and they are going to be joining the... They're joining, like, the ex-mage games. Which is just... Which, like, it just goes for, like, 10 days. And it's a some form of competition and then a battle. So, the first competition they did... Did you ever play Assassin's Creed Brotherhood?
No.
Did you ever see any of the multiplayer in that? Like, in YouTube videos or anything?
I've seen bits and pieces, not much, though.
Well, the first competition is essentially just the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood multiplayer. Of, like, what it is that, guess, like, they're in, like, a city, and then there are just the combatants from the 8 teams, but then the world is populated with a bunch of avatars of the 8 people who are competing. What the combatants have to do is go around and like act like they're one of the NPCs, and then try to figure out which person out there isn't an NPC and then attack them. If they get attacked, they lose a point. If they successfully attack someone, they win a point. But Fairy Tail got stomped. I mean, really stomped. I think like. Since Fairy Tail has 2 teams, a Fairy Tail A and B team, I think the people who were fighting were Juvia and Gray. I think Gray had -2 and Juvia had -1 by the end of it. So, and then they move on to the second competition where Lucy is fighting a lady who can control her hair. And it's cool. Like this chick with her hair, she seems like she's fucking. It looks like something in her brain got knocked loose at some point. Because all she keeps saying is Blondie and then freaking out. But yeah, it's gonna be cool watching like the entire. It's gonna be cool watching the battle, like this entire competition thing, play out. And it's I'm really gonna like how I always like the thing of like the underdogs rising up and surprising everyone. That's always been kind of a cool thing for me. Because like when Fairy Tail first came out, it's like introducing the mages you haven't seen in 7 years. They came last of the things, like, give it up for Fairy Tail. Everyone's like, boo, boo, you guys suck. And they, like, throw ham at them. So it's going to be cool just, like, having someone from Fairy Tail whip someone's ass hard. And then everyone just being like, oh, fuck, these guys might actually win.
Well, I know what division Fairy Tail would definitely win in, and if there was a competition for it, is destroying shit. If there was a competition to see who could destroy a city the fastest and most completely...
Yeah. Oh, it'd be Natsu. Yeah, just Natsu.
Just send in Fairy Tail's strongest team.
No, just send in one person for Fairy Tail. They will find a way to destroy everything. Because that's pretty much how they enter rooms now. Like, if they're... like, in everything I've seen, whenever they go to someone else's place, they always break down a wall to go into the room. Like, I remember, like, during the early stuff from Fairy Tail, they just go to this one, this one mage guild, I guess. They kind of fucked them over or something. And they just hear a noise coming out. They just hear Natsu screaming. And then all of a sudden the wall explodes. You see Natsu burst through the wall. It's like, what up, bitches? And then everyone from Fairy Tail just kind of stands there staring at them. And it was pretty awesome. But yeah, so this competition is going to be cool. I'm interested to see if they pull anything else from video games. Like, it'd be interesting if they had a Quake level. Everyone gets a gun there, jump pads everywhere. We'll see. So, also read Onihime Versus, chapters 19 and 20. They stopped releasing this chapter 18, like, last year at some point. But now they are back. It is awesome. Oh, God, I fucking love Onihime Versus. So it's made by the same guys who make A Flame Inferno Freezing. And what is there's this kid who has a heart condition, and he wants to kill himself. Like, he is constantly a burden on his sister. She has to keep picking out loans from loan sharks, and they keep, like, harassing her and stuff, so he just wants to find a way to, so he just wants to kill himself so that she will have to stop taking care of him and be able to move on with her life. But then this guy shows up and says, hey, I'll make you a deal. If you don't kill yourself, if you drink this potion, don't kill yourself for a year, and don't kill yourself for a year, then you can die, and I will give your sister $10 million. So he agrees to drink the potion, but turns out that potion is a magic formula that makes his heart very delectable to demons. So what happened was, these two girls, they approached this guy, so they paid this guy to give this kid the potion. And then it's going to last a year. And then at the end of the year, after they have the weird competition thing, the winning sister will rip out his heart and eat it and become the ultimate demon. But along the way, there are lower demons who keep trying to take his heart before it is ready. And it is a good series. Like, it's funny at times. It does go for the kind of like the slice of life slapstick kind of stuff. It goes for the weird kind of relationship thing that's been happening, because at one point, one of the demon sisters, she like loses her memory and ends up falling in love with the kid. But then she gets her memory back, and some of those residual feelings might be left over, but they aren't really acting on anything because it's a manga, or in this case, a manhwa. But it's a great series. They just started introducing zombies. But these are your Japanese zombies, not your standard zombies.
So the rules for them are?
The rules for them are, they hate demons. Go. Yeah, it's just kind of like, they hate demons, they have magic. That's kind of been their demon rules. You know, it is not. They're zombie rules. Like, it's not like that. They are the kind of the closest thing analog I can make is they are kind of like the Kore wa Zombie Desuka zombie, only without the limiter break and more magic. But yeah, it's cool. Like, they just introduced, like, the one girl. She has this one ability where she, like, summons familiars. She looks like she's about 10, but she smokes like a long ass Japanese pipe. Use that to summon giant stuffed animals. But then she, like, unleashed her true demon form, and then her stuffed animals turned into actual big fucking animals. Like, she had, like, a giant stuffed tiger, and then that just turned into a giant tiger. You know, Canada's largest discount store. Yeah, Onihime Versus, it's a great series. It's only 20 chapters deep, so if anyone out there who wants to get into it, it is not that hard. Yeah, so the art is great. It's, like I said, it's freezing art. It's a Flame Inferno arc. I mean, it's Flame Inferno art. That art's great. It's got the same writing as those two series, and those two series have really good writing, in my opinion. And yeah, it's really cool. I highly recommend it. So, also read some Underdog. And this is not Underdog, and this is not the Never Fear Underdog is Here Underdog. This is the kid with, like, some weird social disorder enters a contest where he has to kill people.
Sounds much more interesting.
Yes, it is. So, I think I've talked about this series before, like, on one of the earlier episodes. But, to recap, there's this guy, I cannot remember his name, but he hates everyone. he is just like, it's like, oh, you fucking athlete. Like, he's kind of referred to as the ghost boy, because like, he isn't really remembered in anything that he does. Like, when he was in school, no one, like, when he graduated from grade school, no one remembers him. In high school, no one really knows who he is, except for one guy who he also kind of hates, even though he's like his best friend. And he also, like, spies on his teachers while they're having sex and videotapes it. And at one point, he poisons a child. You know, just for kicks.
Oh, regular scumbag.
Yeah. But then, this really hot woman with big tits comes along and says, hey, how would you like to rule the world? And then he offers him a chance to enter this competition. But he doesn't really know what it is until he signs up for it. So he signs up for it, but then it turns out that in this competition, he has to kill people without actually killing people.
Sorry, what?
The rules are, like, if you directly cause any bodily harm to your opponent, you will lose. So he has to try to find a way to work the situation so that other people will kill his opponent, or his opponent will kill himself. And it is really cool. Like, his first opponent, he is like actually a serial killer. He broke into this kid's house. He had like blood streaks all across his face, and he like had some really weird like leather bondage kind of look going on. And he stole the kid's wallet and then planted it on a dead girl that he murdered and tied up in the sewers with her hair. And so then the cops are kind of go after this kid, and it's eventually just gonna. He's kind of just setting it up to spiral out into this whole thing where the cops will end up shooting this kid to death because the evidence is so overwhelming. And in the most recent chapter, he kicked like the bunch of like the cops kind of quarters. He kicked one of the cops in the balls and ran away. And this one cop is just like, "Oh, you motherfucker!" Just tries to pull out his gun and shoot him as hard like as fast as he can, but he couldn't get out. But he could get a shot off in time before the kid disappeared. And it is a really good series, but it is not for the squeamish. It has some kind of messed up stuff in it. You know, but I do highly recommend this series. Like, if you were a fan of some of the other series recommended, such as Cradle of Monsters, you might really like the series.
I enjoy that. I need to read more of Cradle of Monsters, actually.
Yeah, I have read up to I've read up to the most recent chapter they've released, and I don't think they've released a new one in a while. But yeah, the series is just kind of, it's more of like a psychological thing than the Cradle of Monsters, but it is still like really violent, which is kind of awesome. And so yeah, Cradle of Monsters, highly recommend it. And other than that, been reading some more Breaker New Waves. Talked enough about that, I guess. Brewing some Ratman. Looks like Ratman now has an ally inside the Hero newspaper. So yeah, that's cool. And what else was there? I guess that's it. Well, I was brewing some more Cage of Eden, which, you know, Yarai, who is the awesome badass of the series, has reached the Evil Doctor, and the Evil Doctor, I guess, has ordered him to kill Sengoku. Or he will not help the teacher lady that the Yarai might have a crush on. It's weird. It's some weird kind of Oedipal thing going on with the teacher. It's like, the teacher kind of reminds him of his mom, and I'm not really sure if it's like a familial thing, like, oh, I gotta protect this woman, she's like my mother, or if it's like, I really want to fuck this woman, so I'm gonna protect her, she's like my mother.
Well, how much do you believe Freud?
I have not looked much into Freud, but from what I've seen, he's been right sometimes.
Well, Freud's basic belief is that the base desire of all young men at a very base level, not up on the surface, but, you know, the core, kind of what people say keeps zombies going, is to kill the father and have sex with the mother.
Well, his dad died already, so that was, and his mom was the only one to treat him like a person instead of just like Yarai. And Sensei is kind of the same way, so there might be something like that going on. But I'm not really sure. Like, this is Japan, so it could kind of go either way. But for now it's kind of weird. Like, because there's some weird love triangle thing going on. Well, maybe love triangle, because like you got the Yarai and Sensei relationship, but they also have this other girl who was in the same year as Yarai, and she has a huge crush on him. And she told him this, but he doesn't really react to it at all, because, you know, he's stoic and badass and stuff. But yeah, and also, they found out they are actually in Japan. So they are on an island that's covered in weird pyramids and weird giant statues with someone's name on it and weird angel things and prehistoric monsters that were created through genetic engineering that's in Japan.
Well, where else would it be?
Well, it's actually just off the coast of Japan.
Well, there's lots of islands just off the coast of Japan, so it'd be really easy to hide it there.
Yes, and they decided to find a way to make a raft and then sail for 5 days to Japan. Because, yeah, that'll work. Well, so, yeah, I guess that's what we're reading.
Well, so, me watching, because on the anime podcast I talk about anime, and all the anime podcasts you talk about manga.
It's close enough. It's the anime and manga podcast.
We'll start calling it that. No.
Hey, well, I call the movies and television podcast the movie podcast all the time. We keep talking about TV on there.
Yeah, and I have complained about that too. But honestly, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Okay, so on to some news, because we have news.
We have news?
Yes, we do. So, Hollywood is still trying to make a Bleach movie.
It'll be better than if Hollywood makes a Death Note movie.
And it's supposed to, and it is said to be directed by Happy Madison regular director Peter Siegel, with a script written by the guy who co-wrote Wrath of the Titans, Dan Mazzo. So, Wrath of the Titans, let me look this up. Boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doo. So, Wrath of the Titans, it is a upcoming sequel to the 2010 version of the Clash of the Titans.
Oh.
Still with Sam Worthington.
So, they're taking a bad remake, making a sequel, and then they're taking the guy who's writing that sequel to write a Bleach movie.
Yep, and it's also being directed by the guy who directed The Night Oppressor 2, Anchor Management, 50 First Dates, The Longest Yard, and Get Smart.
I liked one of those. Sorry, list them all again.
Okay, so actually there's more that down here that are actually pretty funny that I didn't mention. So, he directed Naked Gun, 33rd and a Third.
Okay, that one's good.
Tommy Boy. My Fellow Americans. Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps. Anger Management.
Yeah.
50 First Dates.
Eh.
The Longest Yard.
Eh.
And Get Smart.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if he can actually pull off the kind of thing that's happening in a Bleach movie, because he seems more like a comedy director than a kind of hard action director, you know, because while there is some comedy in the Bleach stuff, it's a lot more just, you know, I'm gonna scream at you and cut you with my sword.
You know, I don't think any anime movie should have an American version, really, because they all take place in Japan, and it doesn't make sense if you have an American version taking place in Japan, because either it's like, I'm the lone white dude who lives in Japan, but everyone's speaking English for some reason. Or you have it transferred to America. Neither of those really work for any anime movie, but Bleach is specifically, it is drowning in Japanese mythology.
It is so Japan. Like I've said this before, the only thing more interesting than Japan taking on American mythology is Japan taking on its own mythology. And so, having something that is so Japanese, you know, like, I'm going to stamp you with a kanji symbol on your head, then you're going to go to heaven, which is actually the Soul Society, where you live in this, feudal Japan-era huts around this huge thing, where everyone inside dresses in yukata things, and fights swords.
Yeah, my question is, what happens when you die as a Shinigami?
Maybe it's like when you die in Dragon Ball, you just can't be brought back. You just kind of dissolve into the ether.
Like, I know, mostly what they have to deal with is being turned into hollows, because that's their main job, is steal hollows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they get devoured by a hollow, they become a hollow, in which case they get found by a Shinigami, they get cut up by that Shinigami, they are no longer a hollow, they just begin their cycle again.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get killed by Aizen or some other Shinigami,
mm-hmm.
what happens?
I don't know. But
where is Gin?
Like, is it weird to you that spirits bleed?
No.
That seems like the weird thing to me, because, like, they say, like, oh, I punctured this and this, you know, like, I've cut your X artery, or I've, like, pressed the right pressure points to make you sleep, but you're a spirit, you shouldn't have organs or pressure points.
Yeah, well, your spirit body is just a perfect representation of your regular body.
That's bullshit, dude. I died, what's happening now? Now you get to live out eternity in the exact same body you died in. Wait, what? Dude, I was 95 with rickets. I was in a wheelchair. How am I supposed to live now? Well, I don't know. Here's your hut in this grassy field. Damn it. Yeah, it's like, life as a ghost in that universe seems like it sucks.
Yeah, unless you become a Shinigami, then you get, you know, awesome power.
Oh, and then you have to go through the school, and you have to deal with all that. You have to deal with all those assholes from the rich families.
Unless you're Ichigo. As soon as he dies, captain.
Yeah, dude, I'm surprised he's not, like, already a captain.
He can't be a captain because he's not a permanent resident of Soul Society. If he were to die, then, one, his whole romance thing with Rukia would be much easier.
And would make his hopeful romance, that my hopeful romance with him and Orihime, that much harder. Because I really want those two to end up together.
You see,
I know it's never gonna happen.
I'm a Rukia fan. Oh god, I pick relationships. I'm also, you know, Naruto Hinata.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because Sakura's just a bitch.
She is a bitch. She doesn't deserve any better than Sai.
She doesn't deserve. I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up with Sasuke at some point where just like he's evil and she's just like his little bitch. She just like smacks around. It's like, oh, make me a sandwich. Because she seems like the person who would take it. Okay, well, moving on. So, Funimation has licensed the Sengoku Basara movie. So, Sengoku Basara, for those who don't know, is kind of Dynasty Warriors the anime. Where it's just like, oh, we have this one dude, and he has magical fucking swords, and he uses it to fight 8 billion dudes at once. So yeah, it looks fucking awesome, actually. Like, I watched one episode of it, and I was like, I don't know what's happening, and it's awesome. It was like, there's this dude, and then, like, they have, like, this regular feudal army thing, and then there's this guy who looks like he's dressed up like he's in a fucking biker gang from the Akira universe, but instead of leather, it's all armor and shit. And then he, like, pulls out, like, 7, like, Nagata swords, and they all start glowing red, he throws them into the sky and starts running along them. And then it's, oh god, it is so fucking bizarre and awesome, yeah. Have you ever watched any, Sengoku Basara?
No, I have not.
You really should. It's fucking insane. Okay, that movie, which was released as Sengoku Basara, The Last Party in Japan, Funimation is hoping to release it in the first quarter of 2012. So, Madhouse Studio, who have done some pretty awesome stuff, have animated a short based on Peanuts. Like Charlie Brown Peanuts.
This is making my headache worse.
Madhouse, they like animated it all, but then they released it. Yeah, so it has been produced and so according to this, so let me just read this thing. According to Madhouse, it has produced an animated short that is released somewhere in Tokyo and indicated that the short is also on the web. So I want to look at that.
I don't.
I actually want to find that and see Madhouse's Japan, Madhouse's take on the Peanuts. And also just according to this article, interesting bit of trivia. Madhouse is the second studio to ever produce Peanut short. The first being Bill Melendez Productions, who actually made all the Peanut stuff we know and kind of love.
I don't love it.
that some people love.
Call me a communist, but I don't like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I don't like it either. It was okay when I was a kid, but nowadays I'm like, ugh, so stupid.
Except Snoopy himself is cool.
Yeah, Snoopy's awesome.
But
fuck Woodstock.
Woodstock is cooler.
Okay, so moving on. Have you ever heard of a manga called Suzuki Sensei?
Oh, I've heard of it, but it's not memory logging. So refresh.
Okay, so apparently it's just about a ordinary middle school teacher who struggles to deal with the students' issues. So it's,
no wonder I couldn't remember it.
So it sounds like some kind of slice of life thing, but from a teacher's perspective. But yeah, so the manga is getting a live action movie.
Yep. Hooray.
It seemed like some news. So apparently the manga won an Excellence Prize, the 11th Japan Media Arts Festival Awards in 2007. So there's that. Okay. So, I just want to stress this. Fuck Twilight. Fuck it right up its fucking sparkly disco ball ass. Time?
What did it do this time?
Amazon.com lists New Moon, the graphic novel, to be released on October 30th. Yes, and this is New Moon, the graphic novel, Volume 1. So we can assume there will be a Volume 2. Yeah, they already did this once. It was like all written, like it was all like Stephanie Meyer's writing, but it was done by some artist named Young Kim. And just to further destroy my belief in humanity, both volumes of both, like the first volume and the second volume of the first book, they were number one on the New York Times bestseller list for bestseller list for hardcover graphic novels. For 32 weeks and 14 weeks, respectively.
Oh. I want to say this to all the people out there. All the human beings. I hate you all.
God.
You have disappointed me. Time and time again. Now, I know it wasn't all of you. But as a collective, you are a disappointment.
I can't believe this thing has blown up into what it has, let alone that it warranted a fucking manga. Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so let me just read this thing that's happening. So, in the first installment of New Moon, Belle and Edward find themselves facing new obstacles, including a devastating separation, the mysterious appearance of dangerous wolves roaming through the forest and forks, a terrifying new threat of revenge from a female vampire, and deliciously sinister encounter of the reigning royal family of vampires, the Volturi. So, it pains me to say this, but I know what happens in this thing.
I don't. I wasn't even listening to what you said. I can't. I'm just focusing on the one thing Twilight-related that somewhat renews my trust in humanity, but very little.
What's that?
There was a Teen Choice Award where Breaking Dawn went up against Paper Towns, and Breaking Dawn lost.
Oh, thank God. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Paper Towns won it. And it was like a teen popularity award. I'm like, wow, there seems to be enough smart teenagers who enjoy an intelligent book enough that Breaking Dawn got beat the fuck down.
Or the people who actually wanted to vote for Breaking Dawn were too stupid to figure out how computers work, so they couldn't actually vote.
Hey, as long as those people continue to be too stupid to vote, democracy will continue to operate, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so enough about Twilight, because anymore and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have an aneurysm.
I'm going to cry soon if you talk about Twilight anymore.
Okay, so today was going to be our last battle, but since we only have two of us, we can't really do that. So I guess we'll have our announcement. We are starting a seventh podcast. That is right. We will now have 7 podcasts. This new podcast will be The Battlecast. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, something I probably should have asked before. How often are we doing it? I suggest we do it monthly.
I figured we'd do it bi-weekly. Anytime we aren't doing a podcast week.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, like, I figured we'd do it like we used to do with the movies thing before we started doing them weekly. But yeah, we're gonna be posting these every Wednesday we don't have a podcast. Depending on when we start, the first episode will either be next Wednesday or 2 Wednesdays from then.
Now, you might be thinking, why should I listen to this other podcast? It's just a battle. The really good part about this announcement is we are expanding from anime.
Yes, this is going to be from everywhere. It'll be from comics, it'll be from anime, it'll be from movies, it'll be from video games, it'll be from fucking novels.
So, if you want to hear us do a battle between Heiwajima Shizuo and Chuck Norris, I guarantee you that one's happening.
Yeah. It is going to be. And so, also, a bit of a change-up into who selects the battle. Usually, what we do is we have the moderator select the battle, which in this case, this week would have been me. So, we have the moderator select the next battle. But, instead of that, the winner of the battle will be selected in the next battle. So what it's going to be is one of us will be moderating, and since we missed our first battle this week, next week we'll be battling Sai versus Udyu, with myself moderating, and then Bobby and Pudge arguing. It'll be the same format that you've come to know and know on the anime podcast.
We don't know what you people think of it because you don't tell us about it. That it'd be really great if you could.
Yeah, but yeah, so it's gonna be like that normal thing. It's gonna be might be a bit longer now, giving you guys giving the people who are debating a bit more time to actually hash it out. And then whoever the moderator decides won that debate, that person will choose the next episode's battle, and they'll be the ones to moderate that battle. So yeah, we are also gonna be open to suggestions for this. We want you guys to contribute to this. I'll be setting up forms in each different group on the thing for video game battle, for battles of video game characters battle with these characters, just tons of battles everywhere. And we want you guys to give us some suggestions. I posted in the forums the anime battles that we've done so far. But we want you guys to help us. We want you guys to recommend battles for us. Who do you want to see fight each other? So yeah, please, for the love of Christ, let us know. Seriously, for fuck's sake. Oh well. So I guess that's gonna do it.
Yeah. Short week.
Yeah, May's always short.
Yeah, but this is super short. There's only 2 of us and we have no battle. And Pudge takes a long time to talk.
Yeah. Hey, we broke an hour, so I'm happy. Yeah, anime podcasts are usually short. There was this one from, the Whiskey Media family back a while ago, and each episode was, 20 minutes long. They release one a week, so just once a week, just 3 people would sit and talk for 20 minutes about anime. At least we sit and talk for an hour. But oh well. So, be sure to tune back in tomorrow for our final commentary for Black History Month, To Kill a Mockingbird, as well as the movies podcast, where we'll be announcing our next month. We'll be announcing our March of movie stuffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, be sure to come back next Wednesday for our first battle cast. But until then, I'm dead.
I'm Bovywan, and I can't be the one to think of something clever.
We'll see you guys next time.